flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to talk about an elite edge rusher who is maybe going to be available, and can the Falcons get in on it? We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it's good to have you listening on this Monday. And, of course, the 5 o'clock hour brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings, where B-dubs is football. Mike, I was going to post, because I know people think we are over-exaggerating and sometimes making things up, and playing radio, which I don't know what that is. This thing fell on my leg, and I took a picture, and I'm going to post it, and I drew the arrow to that falling on my leg and where my leg is cut.
That doesn't do it justice. That makes it look like a, it is an enormous piece of wood.
I agree.
Tremendous density.
Correct. It's very heavy, but I was going to post this, and then I realized, damn, my legs are ashy. Yeah, and I really want to post this? Wait. Because than anything, I think I'm going to get clowned. Forget about the wound. Look at my leg.
I got some moisturizer in my back. Let's take about to reshoot this.
Even with long pants, Carl, you got to put the lotion on, man.
Man, look.
You never know.
Look how ashy my leg is. I'm like, damn, I can't post that.
I've lived in Atlanta so long now, even when I go out to walk the dog, I put on some Lubriderm on my legs, Carl, so I'm not ashy. Because people do notice.
I know. They will. That's the first thing I'll get back. Yeah, nice wound. What about the ash on the legs?
Okay. Yeah.
We'll see. More on that to come. As I am okay, I've stopped the bleeding. Here's the bigger thing, guys. We're going to talk about Luka.
But can we stop the bleeding when it comes to our pass defense?
We're going to nice transition. We're going to talk about Luka. We're going to talk about AD. But if I told you that Myles Garrett wants out of Cleveland, your first initial thought is, how do we get him?
Yes.
How do we get him?
I'd trade the entire draft. I would trade the entire draft for this cat. Now, I know we still have to find another corner opposite A.J. Terrell, but it would be transformative. The guy is 29. He's 30 next year. He's already got 102.5 sacks. He has been able to stay healthy the last 4 years, and he's, you know, 17. Look at his. You can look up his stats. Look at the numbers. He's reliable, even though he does play with pain. He has some foot issues that he talked about this year. Didn't miss a game.
Mike, he's
a beast. He's a force of nature. He's something that you got to account for him. You can double team him.
Oh, big time.
And whatever we've got now, I'd still like to see us do more. But I mean, it makes you talk about making everybody better. Myles Garrett steps in here. He's the best player on the team.
Yeah, hands down. And here's the thing, too. We're talking about a perennial defensive player of the year candidate, a guy that leads the league and can lead the league in sacks. So all of these things that we've been craving for and want. But Myles Garrett, basically, for those who are saying, well, why is he want out? Well, look, he doesn't think they're winning anything in Cleveland, and he certainly doesn't want to waste and continue to waste his time. So he has requested that the Browns trade him. That doesn't mean they will. Their general manager has come out and said, I'm not giving him Myles Garrett up. And look, this is an ongoing thing. But, Mike, that was before Garrett requested the trade. That was just him responding to questions about what would you do. So, you know, he's the reigning defensive player of the year. And for me, if these kinds of players want out, you guys know this. They eventually get out. If he really wants out of Cleveland, he gets out. But I do think it's going to cost at least two first-round picks. And this gets us to the bigger question about our Falcons.
Right.
Many of you want to include, and you have already done this deal, throw in Kirk Cousins and whatever else. Guys, the Kirk Cousins part of this is he has to want to go to wherever they are attempting to trade him to. And if he doesn't want to go to Cleveland, that's not happening. So this thing like, we'll just get rid of Cousins. This is a great way to get rid of Cousins. Mike, that's not going to take place.
No, and as we spoke with three cap experts, you know, the last couple of months, guys, you've heard on the show, they're all saying every team out there that might have an interest in Kirk Cousins, regardless of what you thought was or wasn't his season last year, wait for us to just cut him. Because, yes, we can hold on to him, but then we take a huge cap hit. Either way, we're screwed on this deal because it's guaranteed. I get it. Yes, in a perfect world, Cleveland calls up and goes, hey, we'll throw you, $2.5 million towards Kirk Cousins. At least something's coming off the books. But even there's no reason for them to do that. They can do whatever. And by the way, we get it. We're just saying we need a guy like Myles Garrett. We don't have a lot of cap space. We understand that. But of everybody in the NFL, the team which is at the bottom historically in the league is the Falcons in edge rush. This guy would be the guy that fixed the problems. Yes, he's going to want to come here. A lot of pieces here. If I'm Miles Garrett, I told Carl, I go to Vegas. Don't be opposite Max Crosby for 2 years minimum. Well, he's got two more years left on his deal. Raiders have got more money than anybody right now. They got a ton of cap space. And Tom Brady, now they just hired Chip Kelly as an OC. They're doing things out there in Vegas with Pete Carroll. But regardless, you the idea that somehow Kirk Cousins is in a trade, that's a fantasy. That's just not happening. Now, unless somehow if you could massage it, hey, man, I'll kiss Terry Fontenot's butt in the county square if we find a way to get to somebody to pay for some portion of Kirk Cousins this year.
Yeah, he says in his request, Mike, we love I've loved calling this city home, talking about Cleveland. My desire to win and compete on the biggest stage won't allow me to be complacent. The goal was never from Cleveland to Canton. It's always been to compete and win for a Super Bowl. So, look. If he's serious, and we're about to find out, but he's putting this out way early, Mike. Like, I think his representation and everybody said, if you really want out, you got to let everybody know before we get to free agency so teams can start to maneuver and whatnot. But let me say this, too. This is the other challenge for the Falcons. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's going to want a new deal. He's got no remaining guaranteed money on the 2 years left on his current deal. Now, we know. Most of these deals are up front and, you know, you pay off most of this stuff in the first 3 years. Miles Garrett's no different. But, Mike, he's not coming anywhere to say, I'll play through this deal and wait two more years to get new money. It's not happening.
You're going to turn right around and you're going to back up the Brinks truck. So there's a number of teams that would have the ability, the cachet to do that. Speaking of cash, it would be able to make that happen. You could argue we'd be hard-pressed to do that. Now, I know that some people will say, the organization might say, well, we've allotted X amount of dollars for our quarterback. Okay. Well, he's sitting there just kind of doing nothing with a big dead cap hit right now. Was it 40 and 25, Chris? Is that how it works out? So, yes, you've just now you've pivoted to Penix Jr. You've got no leverage when it comes to getting Kirk Cousins off. And you said it. His agent, who, by the way, might still be in his bag that you even pulled the Penix deal off in the first place before Kirk Cousins forgot how to play quarterback. You just don't really have leverage there. I would give anything to get Miles Garrett. Falcon fans are going bananas on texts on our Twitter accounts. I agree. Probably never going to happen, Carl. Because there's just, you know, we don't have the money, we don't have the space, the wherewithal to do the things you're just talking about.
And that's the thing. We want to dream about the things that we might be able to do, but this is where this stuff comes back to bite you. And again, hindsight's 20/20. Nobody knew that this was going to play out the way it did. Hell, nobody knew yesterday that Miles Garrett was going to be requesting out. But when this stuff happens, how do you find yourself to be involved in it, Mike? You can't when your money's tied up in your quarterback. And that is what happened. And it's tied up now in a quarterback that probably won't even play for you again. So that's the fundamental issue. Not only do we, you know, you're probably going to give up two first-round picks to get him, you got to be willing to cut the check and give him a new deal. And I don't know, Mike, if that is what the Falcons are willing to do, even if Falcon fans said, screw it, we want this guy.
Yeah, I mean, guys, that's a dude who comes in and just completely changes the trajectory of your defense. You know, and somebody who, you know, Chris was joking around with us earlier, they've got, like, not much cap space, but the 49ers, they've always found a way to go gobble up the best edge rushers when they're on the market. And certainly the Bears would be an interesting alternative for him. Some folks said to us, could the Bengals maybe pass on T. Higgins and make room for, you know, I don't know if they could make that work anyway with Jamar Chase and then a monster contract for Miles Garrett. There's only so many teams, but he would be the highest. It would reset the market. The highest paid guys are quarterbacks and the guys who sack the quarterback.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys, a lot of teams, should we say, Patriots, Raiders, Commanders have a lot of money. There are teams that are attractive, more attractive, could be, than certainly what we are, and could probably pay him a lot more, which is going to play into this if, in fact, he becomes available. We're talking about it because nobody, again, suspected he would even want out of Cleveland. And now that if this is true and he does and he wants to really make it happen, well, we got to be in on it. We got to at least make the phone call.
Look, here's the thing, guys. Think about some of the stuff we've been in on the last five seasons. We were in on Deshaun Watson when we had no money. If you think we have no way to pull this off, we had even less chance to get Deshaun Watson, and we pursued that. You know, to the detriment of losing what might have been the last serviceable year of Matt Ryan, perhaps here, but he wound up in Indy. So, yeah, I mean, if you were going to go all in for a Deshaun Watson when you had, let's be honest, Carl, didn't have the chips to be in that poker game, I don't know if that scares him away from pursuing this. But needless to say, it's a galactically huge need with the best guy that would answer all of our problems.
All of them.
But we don't have the money.
All right, 404-726-0929. It is our text line, and you guys can hit us up. We would love to hear from you in regards to this. Coming up, we're going to talk about our strong arm story of the day. Of course, it has to do with the NBA. Hawks back in action tonight at Detroit. Our coverage begins at 6:30, so we're done a little bit early tonight. But as we will get into the AD and Luka trade and what it means for Trey as well, that is on the way. This football thing, though, Mike, I mean, like, look, Patriots weren't good, but to have $122 million under the cap, they can easily get good.
Right.
The Raiders you mentioned aren't that far off, and it looks like they've got a system and a coaching staff now that is falling into place. We talked about Chip Kelly. They got $108 million under the cap. They can make some moves that would get them back in the mix. I still think it's Chiefs and obviously, you know, the Chargers and Denver, but that division they're in, it's going to take a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, like, the Commanders, that team scares me.
It's a sexy squad.
Yes. And that is, you know, they got $96 million under the cap. Right. They could go pay Miles and a couple other guys.
All of a sudden, teams, you know, it's amazing how things flip. I think the Raiders, if they can ever figure out how this quarterback thing works, I don't know if the Raiders try to use resources to move up and get Shedeur Sanders. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, who I don't know.
Would you? Right now?
The thing they're missing, but do you lock in that he's your guy, or do you try to go all the way to get Cam Ward? Who do you, if you're the Raiders, who do you identify as that guy? You know, that's the thing, because the only thing missing right now, they got some really nice pieces. Yeah, I know Devontae Adams moved on and all that, but they've got a young team. They're one of the youngest teams in the NFL. So, I you know, Brady, that's what's the thing. You know, the good news if you're Raiders is Brady's involved. The bad news is you have to listen to him on TV on Sundays.
Hey, coming up, Bobby Corrala. He is from All
Who?
City. Bobby Corrala.
Oh!
He is from All City Network, Dallas Mavericks, head of content. We're going to dive into this Luka situation from their perspective. Is there something we need to know that's out there that maybe we don't? We're going to head to Dallas next. Blockbuster trade in the NBA. We'll get the latest on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's head to Dallas and talk to Bobby Corrala. He is with All City Network, Dallas Mavericks head of content, and we're talking about Luka and AD. First and foremost, I know what the reaction was around the country, but it had to be twofold in Dallas, right, with the reaction of they just did what?
I mean, I can't even describe it. You know, a lot of fans have put it this way. It feels like they lost a family member, you know, and I know that sounds really melodramatic, but this is an absolute thunderbolt that came from literally out of nowhere. I mean, we're used to drama in the NBA, right? Like, these trade sagas can last for entire seasons. This lasted for like 5 seconds. Everyone just woke up and Luka was gone, you know, and that feeling of, you know, the rug being pulled out from underneath you, it really feels like something or someone you love has been taken away from you. And it's been a lot for a lot of fans to deal with.
Are you aware of how toxic it had gotten behind the scenes with them and him?
I don't even know if it was toxic is the thing. I mean, all of the reporting makes this seem like it's just involving Nico and Luka. Like, and even Luka didn't know about the trade. I mean, this really almost feels like a one-man thing. You know, Mavs general manager Nico Harrison just making the decision, hey, I really want Anthony Davis, and I don't really want Luka Doncic anymore. I mean, it's saying that sentence out loud is just really, it's like I can't even wrap my mind around that, to be honest. But I don't think that it was toxic. I mean, this is a team that just went to the finals last season, you know, and they got off to a great start and then Luka got hurt. But at one point they had won 14 out of 17 games. They were the toast of the town. You know, they went into OKC and beat them two different times already this season. I mean, this team had playoff and title aspirations, and apparently they still do, but apparently Nico and, you know, whatever part of the Mavs front office is aligned with him believes that Anthony Davis gives them a better chance to do it than Luka Doncic.
What is the opinion of Nico? Like, is he well received there? Because he's been behind closed doors. Like, it's not like he's done any blockbuster deals. Obviously, the Kyrie thing, right? And everybody was wondering if that worked. But I mean, like, how is he received there?
You know, it's kind of a weird thing because some of their offseason moves, you know, acquiring Christian Wood in 2022. Going out and getting Grant Williams in 2023, those didn't really work out. But every single season, you know, starting with his first year in 21-22, they come out of nowhere and trade away Kristaps Porzingis out of nowhere for Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. And fans were furious, but the team went to the conference finals, and Nico looked like a genius. You know, and then last season, they went out and signed Grant Williams in the offseason, and it didn't work. And at the trade deadline, he made a pretty epic pivot to Daniel Gafford and P.J. Washington. And, you know, those moves were kind of thought like, that may be sidesteps. But then the Mavs go on to the finals. So, you know, it really feels like his in-season trades, and of course Kyrie Irving came before that, he's been riding this heater, you know, over the last few years on all these in-season trades he's making. Just everything he touches turns to gold in the season. But I just don't see how this can turn into gold. I mean, Mavs fans love Luka Doncic. This is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of player, you know, and to trade him away from out of nowhere for a player who, Anthony Davis is unbelievable, but I really feel like the emotional connection that Mavs fans, not just in Dallas, but literally around the world, I mean, Luka's a global icon, the connection that they have is so strong that even if the Mavs win the next two or three titles, like, I'm not sure that it would mean as much to fans as one singular title with Luka ever would.
It's a Bobby Corella, guys, from down in Dallas, Dallas Mavs. You can follow him on Twitter, at Bobby Corella. The thing about Luka came up was the conditioning. We all know that Brian Windhorst, he went off and that was a game four of the NBA Finals where he said, this guy can't stay healthy. Was the conditioning thing a real thing or did Dallas sort of slow roll it and there really is a beef about him not being in shape and they just don't let it get out?
I really do think it was an issue. You know, in a ESPN article between Ramona Shelburne and Tim McMahon, they also reported that at various points throughout Luka's tenure here, including once this season, you know, the Mavs kind of played up injuries for him publicly when the real goal was for him to shed weight, you know, and to hit the gym and lose some pounds. And, you know, I mean, Mavs fans, it's almost been kind of like a joke, a running joke online throughout a lot of Luka's tenure, like, he just looks different sometimes. You know, a few days, if they have a few days off, he'll look different. Or if they play three games in four nights, by the end of that stretch, he'll look different. Like, I think this is a guy whose weight fluctuates a lot. And, you know, he also deals with quite a few injuries. And I'm not a doctor. You know, I'm just some dude that lives on the internet. But, you know, I feel like the Mavs believe those are connected. You know, Luka is a big guy. He's very tall. He's 6'7", 6'8". You know, big body dude. And with the amount of wear and tear that he takes on a nightly basis, I mean, this guy leads the league in time of possession. And, you know, he's always dribbling the ball, always bringing it up the floor. He faces a lot of double teams. Like, he goes through a lot on the floor every single night. And it's just really hard to sustain that at 240 or 250 or Dave McMenamin reported even 260 pounds.
Right.
You know, that's a lot. So I do think that there's some validity to that, but I mean, how much, I guess we'll probably all find out together in the coming months as we learn more about this deal.
Bobby, I don't want to ask you about Luka per se. This is more about Kyrie and how he has been there since he got to Dallas. You know, we know he can play. I'm talking about just the relationships and the off-the-floor stuff. And then AD now coming there to play with him. Because the notion is, at least from Nico, hey, you know, Jason Kidd coached these guys. He knows them. It's going to work.
Yeah, I mean, so first and foremost, Kyrie has been unbelievable. You know, I was very skeptical, not of the player, but of, you know, all of the off-court stuff that Kyrie's been through over the last few years, you know, before he came to Dallas. But that guy has been, you know, respectful toward everybody. He has not been a problem at all on the floor or off the floor. He's been a leader and, you know, he's really embraced that role. And, you know, the Mavs are a little older now with these last moves over the last couple months. But, you know, whenever he first arrived at the team, the Mavs were pretty young. You know, Luka is 25. Derek Lively is 20. Jaden Hardy is like 21, 22. And P.J. Washington, Daniel Gafford, they're both 25. Kyrie was the leader on that team, you know, emotionally and, you know, motivationally on that team as they went to the finals last year. And that's been really impressive to see and really cool, you know, to see up close, because it's one thing to hear, you know, things about a guy, but then you see something different whenever you're there. And it really shifts your perception of him. But, you know, as for how he, as the leader of this team, is going to navigate this period, you know, I don't know. You know, Mark Stein has reported that Kyrie still, you know, the Mavs' goal is still to sign him to an extension this summer, and that Kyrie hopes to do that. A lot can change, obviously, over the next 6 months, depending on how the rest of the season goes. But, you know, it's going to be put to the test. You know, I think Anthony Davis wants to be here. I think he's excited for the opportunity. He waived his trade kicker, so he's sacrificing a little bit of money to allow the Mavs to maybe make another move before the deadline on Thursday. But he's going to be facing so much pressure. Anthony Davis is the guy that has to replace Luka Doncic. You know, like, who can possibly do that? It's just, you know, it's going to be really, really tough to see. So, you know, but fortunately, you know, Kyrie and AD have played in so many high-level games, so many pressure-packed situations over the years, and hopefully they're going to be able to figure out a way to make it work because, you know, unfortunately, they've already played almost 60 games. Like, it's already February. You know, this thing is entering the home stretch.
All right. Bobby Carell is with us, guys, from down in Dallas, Mavs basketball correspondent, also head of content for Dallas Sports. Here's the thing. It was like one-stop shop. It was one deal. It was one phone call or a series of phone calls only between one team. I got to imagine in Big D they're losing their minds that you didn't shop around because everyone's saying you should have gotten more in this trade.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. I think if, you know, if Nico would have canvassed the whole NBA, you know, maybe talked to three or four teams like in advanced discussions or whatever parlance you want to use and came away with Anthony Davis, Max Christie in a first-round pick, I don't think anyone would believe that that would be the package, the best package on the table, right? Now, by all accounts, Nico really, really wanted Anthony Davis to be a Dallas Maverick. Okay, I'm down with that. But you got to get something else, too. You know, AD is 6 or 7 years older than Luka. He's going to make $55 million a year or whatever for the next 3 years. And then he's going to be 35 and he's, you know, going to, who knows what state he'll be in at that point. Luka's 25 years old, you know, and you would have been able to sign him to a 4 or 5 year extension this summer to keep him well past his 30th birthday. So you're sacrificing a lot of future, a lot of fandom, a lot of, you know, the spirit of your team. And also Luka's really, really dang good too. You know, he scored 73 points in a game a year ago. You're trading that for a much older player who's battled his own series of injuries throughout his career. Mm. You need to come away with multiple picks. You got to come away with all their picks, you know, whatever picks they can offer. They're two or three best young players. You know, you should never be walking away from a trade like this believing we could have gotten more, you know. And I think the one kind of the one caveat of the whole thing is the Mavs still wanted to compete this year. So if they just wanted to blow it up, sure, I guess you're going to go hit up Utah or OKC or whatever teams has all these, you know, 30 first round picks in the next 10 years or whatever, but they wanted to compete. So they wanted a really, really good player back. I'm sure they still could have gotten a player that's just as good as AD or maybe more in addition to more picks if they would have looked around the league. And I think that is a big sticking point with Mavs fans too. You know, if you're going to do this to us, if you're going to put us through this heartache, this pain, this period of change after a finals run, at least give us something to good feel about, you know, to feel good about on the back end.
Bobby, appreciate it, man. Bobby Carrillo, thank you so much. All City Network, Dallas Mavericks, head of content. Great stuff. We're trying to figure out, you know, more insight about this trade. I can't wait to see what both teams are going to look like and how this shakes out. Man, appreciate it, man. Thank you for stopping by.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you for having me.
You got it.
You know, he mentioned the 73 points. Y'all know who that came against.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was us.
Yeah. I'm familiar with it. Yeah, and we'll get into it because the Luka trade and whatever. Now, it sounds like the weight and the conditioning thing was certainly a major issue. That's the only reason you'd cut bait. You're not going to give him a supermax. But it just kind of gets that old debate going, Carl. Which, and you and I are always blown away. How many guys are anti-trade when we do the Luka trade conversation here in Atlanta?
Yeah. It was brutal. It really was. We had no answers for him that night. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the road to the big game. And we'll get back into that conversation at 6, Mike, because I do want to get into that with you about Luka and Trey, because it does hit home for us. 404-726-0929. What is the Chiefs general manager saying about his team? We're going to tell you next. It is Dukes and Bell, and we are going to tell you what is going on as we get ready for the big game on Sunday. Roger Goodell addressed the media, and he said a bunch of things today. He was asked a variety of questions about officiating, transparency, and he, you know, was asked even if the Chiefs are getting favoritism any way, shape, or form from the officials.
How course, snarky were the reporters?
Well, look, I give the reporters credit, Mike. Right. They pressed him. Even there were great follow-ups, as much as we could see today here in right. studio. But, you know, he does the State of the State or the State of the NFL every year, the week of the Super Bowl, and today was that day. But, you know, he was even asked about the hiring practices, et cetera, all the stuff that we've become accustomed to. But this Chiefs and the refs thing was a big topic.
Right. And I saw some of it with you, and I said, man, I agree. Somebody saying, you know, if I could have been there and said, hey, Commissioner, you know, you talk about the officiating, you say it's the best it's been. How can you, the biggest game of the year to get to the Super Bowl, right? And you've got to play like that Xavier Worthy, which by definition of the very convoluted rule book is not a catch. And even with replay, you guys still can't get that stuff right. The technology, I'd love to ask some questions about the technology. You know, why are we living in an analog world with a 10-yard chain? You know, when everybody else in the pro sports world is some kind of digital technology, which lets you know what's what.
They are looking at the NFL, that is. And again, all this stuff's got to be approved by the competition committee, but it makes no reason not to. They are looking at that, Mike, with the electronic chip and the football and stuff that you talked about. But, you know, it's got to be passed, and that's something that won't happen until next season. But, again, it's available. Meanwhile, the Chiefs general manager, his name's Brett Veach, says that this team, Mike, is built to sustain success. This is not just one more run at the Super Bowl. And I think we, most fans, are all caught up in the fact that they got a chance to three-peat and, like, this thing's over. He's right. Mahomes is still very young, guys, and what the Chiefs have already shown us is they have the ability to rebuild around him
right.
fairly easy. Now, the good news is, you know, this defense has been good the last few years, and it's something that, you know, the Chris Joneses of the world, those guys don't come along, you know, every year. But the fact is, he says, you know, the historical aspect of us going for a three-peat is cool, but we expect to be in a similar scenario next year competing for a championship. I hate to say it, and this is why I have Chiefs fatigue. They probably will be.
But, you know, two ways of looking at it. Yes, you wish, and first off, you're jealous. Let's start with it right now. You're jealous.
Okay.
Because they're better run than we are.
Okay.
They've drafted better. They've got the secret sauce. They got a guy that's the difference maker.
Yes, you're right about all of that.
Right. And they're not going anywhere because they manage their cap brilliantly.
See, I'm not afraid to admit these things.
Now, the thing is, Tariq Hill, hey, man, they can't win without bye-bye. Bye-bye. And they won't get jammed up by spending big money on receivers, which some teams, that's a philosophical approach. Other teams get sucked into the cap. We got sucked into that.
They just keep throwing guys out there.
The Bengals are. Dolphins, right. They just find dudes. You know, they bring back guys. Kareem Hunt was lost. I bring him back. You know, Mecole Hardman, I bring him back. You know, they just have these guys. You know, I mean, they went. I mean, one of the bigger moves, but it wasn't that big a move. They went and got, who am I forgetting? Q. They got Hopkins. They got D-Hop. D-Hop came in, and you know, but even then, he's been a difference maker. They just get it done. Now, Kelsey, maybe at some point they'll have to make a hard decision about Kelsey, but he still seems to bring it when it matters most.
And Hollywood Brown too.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. Hardman's on the IR. Rashee Rice is on the IR.
Right. Rashee Rice had the car wreck, then he got hurt.
Yeah. Moore's on the IR. Like all these guys, that's who they won a Super Bowl with last year. All those guys on the IR, and now you got Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Juju Smith-Schuster,
yeah.
D-Hop.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like the Patriots, you know, they all of a sudden we had something we'd never seen before, the Tuck rule. That doesn't seem right. Then we found out about, like, the Spygate stuff. Well, that's definitely not right. And then Belichick, who's got the charisma of, like, a snail. You know, that didn't really help. These guys, to me, they're... I'm lagging behind Carl in the Chiefs' fatigue, but I get it. The rest of the country will at some point go, eh. But, you know, when Jordan's going back to back, you know, we love that. We talked about the Yankees last week when they were winning World Series.
Mike was different.
Best numbers, Mike.
Did you see that commercial, by the way?
Yes.
Did you see the commercial last night on the Grammys? I don't know if you guys watched
it. No, I saw the ad of the,
okay.
A review of it.
So I caught it live, and it's rare that this happens because usually, you know, I record that stuff and I'll go back and watch, and it was on and we were sitting there, and that commercial came up, and oh, I know you're a big sneakerhead like me, and it caught me. And I'm, like, looking at the television like, what is this? And the whole premise is, what if Nike didn't pay the Jordan fines for the Jordan 1s, which were banned from the NBA, for those who don't know. Right. They were too elaborate, the color scheme and all that. You couldn't do that. And so Nike was like, fine, we'll pay. And the whole thing is, look what it set off. And right. Now, fast forward from, like, 84 to now, and how sneakers are, you know, coveted around the world. And I was blown away. It was an incredible spot.
On the sneakers app, too, and the Nike app, that's how they're marketing, too. It's the black box over the shoe. The one thing I'm upset about, Carl, those aren't going to retail on the app. They're only going to retail in stores. and they're going to retail for like $250 a pair.
I believe it. I believe it. But yeah, so I just, but Mike, you know, I say that because you're talking about these dynasties and why we feel some way about some and why we feel, you know, some way about others. But yeah, that whole Jordan, and I think it's probably going to be run on Super Bowl Sunday, my guess is, because this was like a preview kind of deal. But if you didn't see it, it just really is cool.
We talked about, you know, the likability quotient. I mean, Andy Reid is certainly a lovable guy. We've talked about the State Farm ads and all that stuff. You see those guys. I just felt with Mahomes, I mean, Mahomes just wins, you know, and I get it. I know now we're talking about all the stuff going on with the ads, but the dude just gets it done.
I'm sick of it.
But, you know, and I like Mahomes because, you know, with the nerdy kind of Kermit the Frog voice and everything, he just gets it done, you know, in a league where it's so damn hard to get there. We, Lord knows we know. You know, we've only gotten there twice, but I'm not there yet. And Philadelphia, through no fault of the players, because we know there's so many Georgia, you know, Bulldogs on that squad, but the Philadelphia, their juju is bad. It's bad fan juju. Mm. So I'll be pulling for the Chiefs one last time, Carl. One more time.
And Mike is right about this. I mean, the hard part to accept, and this is why I'm in my bag. When are we going to get a little bit of this? That's all. Not a whole lot. I don't want a whole lot. Can I get a little bit?
Maybe Michael Penix Jr. is going to be the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land.
I hope.
You know, right now, it's hard to see that because we just came through a very strange season where there were expectations.
Is that what you call it?
Yes, a very strange season. Not the lost season. You know, we had the lost season of 2000.
That's what you call it.
The lost season of 2007, that's when Mike Vick went the Hooskow. That was things we'd never seen before. But this one was like, okay. Yeah, but I do believe
in
Penix. But I still don't believe in the – I want to believe the front office can fix the defense, but they haven't been able to do it yet.
Was this worse than us starting 5-0-15 and I'm starting to look ahead?
Well,
or was this worse?
It had a lot of the Dan Quinn-like feelings because this guy's a Dan Quinn guy. There's a lot of similarities to 2015 and where we should
– Was this worse, though?
Yeah.
6-3, the way we had commanded the division.
Yeah, 6-3 with four games in hand in the division.
Yeah, see, Mike, it just feels worse.
Yeah. Nobody starts 5-0 and misses the freaking playoffs. Falcons do.
Well, we did.
So, but that's water under the bridge.
It is.
Now we got to figure out how we get Cousins off. If we can take somebody, if we can find a way, because a lot of guys keep coming up, we could trade Cousins in a package for Myles Garrett. We've explained this to you. Like, go back and listen to our interview with Joel Corey. His agent controls this. Guys are like, well, doesn't Kirk want to start? Maybe he doesn't want to start in Cleveland.
No.
Maybe Kirk has other maybe Kirk wants to go to Vegas, you know, and would like the Falcons to cut him. Guaranteed. Like, guys, we have no leverage. Yes, in a perfect world, some quarterback, heaven forbid, gets hurt somewhere else between the draft and when we have to drop Kurt for the cap hit. But the odds of that are 1,000,000 to 1.
Yeah. And by the way, the other part of this, I mean, it goes maybe unsaid or kind of unspoken. If you do cut him, you guys know that number goes up, right? It's like another additional $25 million. And that's another, it's a deterrent from just cutting him and saying, oh, we'll just release him. Like, there's a lot here to say it's smarter, which is what they're telling us, to just keep him on the roster. If that's the worst-case scenario, then that's better than taking this number and having this dead money and not having the guy or the player or anything to show for. So that's what they're saying.
Look, I mean, in a worst-case scenario, which I still don't think he'll be on the roster, but if he is, okay, you've got a tremendous backup. But all the weirdness from last year carries over to this year.
Yeah. Yeah, but
look, we still don't even know what the hell happened to him.
Well, Mike, it gets back to when people around the country were saying, oh, they're going to bring back Desmond Ridder. And we were like, you can't.
No.
And I hope this doesn't happen. But if Penix had to be relieved for whatever reason and he runs out there, you're going to have a thing in your gut, in your stomach, not knowing what to expect. Now, he might come out and throw, you know, dimes and dots, but The last time we saw him, I just didn't feel that way. I wasn't confident in what he was doing. So to your point, that does carry over, even though that may be a little bit unfair, because he could go through an offseason, be as healthy as he's ever been, maybe be as accurate as he's ever been, and we'll never see it because he won't get the opportunity here.
Right. Now, again, in a perfect world, I said this earlier, I'll say it again. If Terry Fontenot can find a way to get Myles Garrett in here. Now, by the way, remember, nobody wanted to own this. I said this to Carl earlier. I'll just repeat it real quick. We went in for Deshaun Watson when we had basically as worse a cap situation as we have this year.
It was worse, yeah.
And the idea was, wow, man, we're really jammed up. Are we willing to mortgage the future? Yeah, I mean, John Chuckery and I were working that day. We're arguing about like three number ones, and you got to do it. Never happened, never came to fruition. But when you look at where we're at, you could say if somebody in the organization wants Myles Garrett, the precedent is there. They went for Deshaun. They made a play for Deshaun Watson. Had no chance because the Browns just came in and did something that was unprecedented at that time.
Yeah, they did. And now they're paying the price for it, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the idea that you be willing to do it. And if you're willing to do it, then that means you're willing to sacrifice whatever it might take.
Right.
Picks, you know, the money that's going to be involved. You know what? We don't care. We're all in. Maybe they will be, Mike, but I feel like, and this is where I'm at, and this is why I'm, as much as I'm excited about the opportunity to say, hey, let's get involved in this. Mike mentioned something earlier in the show, but I just feel like this is a part of the turnover of our team and our defense specifically. We got to get younger, more athletic, faster on that side of the ball. And you don't do that by picking up guys. And I'm sorry, you know, for everything that Myles Garrett is, and I get it, we need an edge rusher like to save our lives. But Mike, that's why you got to get this stuff off the tree. You got to get these guys in the draft. It's why the Rams are going to be a problem for a long time now over the next 4 or 5 years because all those guys are young and they drafted all those guys.
We've got out of the cap hell of the 2020 season, all that 2021. Then we came out. Now we're kind of in this weird mix. Would you want to do it? I think Myles Garrett is just worth it. But again, as we said, guys,
he is.
We are behind the Cowboys in cap space. We're 27th in available cap space before we make roster moves. Meanwhile, the teams that make a lot of sense. Now again, if you're Myles Garrett. How about the Commanders? That's a sexy team. They got things going. Bears, Chargers, hell, the Myles Garrett, you go to Detroit right now. Detroit's like top 10 in cap space.
Aiden Hutchinson on one side and Myles Garrett on the other.
That's why I said the Raiders, man. You figure out the situation. No, and everybody's a tax broker. No income tax in Las Vegas, right?
We know.
But anyway, you go back to him and Mac. Imagine him and Crosby together.
Nuts. It'd be nuts.
Right.
Hey, coming up. Did we truly win? Did Trey truly win? We're going to talk about this when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.